I'm Tara Mergener tonight on EWTN News Nightly. Horror in Gaza as the region's only Catholic church is hit following Israeli strikes. How locals as well as the Vatican are responding. Amid the turmoil in the Middle East, one Catholic group is starting a novena for peace in Gaza. We have details. President Trump's spending cuts bill survives the Senate and makes its way back to the House. What the road ahead looks like. And Pope Benedict XVI said holiness never goes out of fashion. Learn more about the meaning and symbolism behind papal vestments. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
And thank you for being with us on the Feast of the Martyrs of Compiègne. We begin tonight's newscast with tragic news out of the Middle East. The only Catholic church in Gaza is heavily damaged by a shell from an Israeli tank. Sadly, it killed at least three people and injured multiple others. The Holy Family Church is located in Gaza City in the northern part of the territory. The church's roof was hit just after 10 o'clock this morning local time. Hundreds of Palestinians were sheltering there at that time. Multiple people were injured, including the priest, Father Gabriel Romanelli, whose injuries were said to be mild. Others were not as fortunate.
We were struck in the church while it was full of elderly, innocent people and children. Several were injured, some of them seriously, including my mother, who was hit in the head by shrapnel. We have always loved peace and called for it. This is a brutal and unjustified act by the Israeli occupation.
The Israeli Defense Forces, commonly known as the IDF, released a statement acknowledging the attack, saying in part, the circumstances of the incident are under review. The IDF makes every feasible effort to mitigate harm to civilians and civilian structures, including religious sites, and regrets any damage caused to them. Now, you may recall the Holy Family Church is the same church that Pope Francis spoke with nearly every night after the war started. It has been a refuge for Palestinians, both Christian and Muslim alike. Pope Francis called them regularly in order to stay close during the war. And that closeness continues with Pope Leo XIV. EWTN Vatican correspondent Paolo Flynn has the Holy Father's reaction to the attack.
Pope Leo XIV has expressed deep sorrow and called for an immediate ceasefire following a deadly raid on the Holy Family Catholic Church in Gaza. In a telegram signed by Cardinal Pietro Parolin, the Vatican Secretary of State, on his behalf, Pope Leo shared his profound sorrow for the loss of life and injuries caused by the attack. He especially conveyed his spiritual closeness to the parish priest, Father Gabriel Romanelli, who was injured during the attack, and the entire parish community. The Pope commended the souls of the deceased to the, quote, loving mercy of Almighty God, and offered his prayers for the consolation of those who grieve and for the recovery of the injured. The Holy Father also renewed his call for an immediate ceasefire and expressed his profound hope for dialogue, reconciliation, and enduring peace in the region. Caritas Jerusalem confirmed the deaths and reported significant damage to parts of the compound. The organization noted the growing fear among the Christian community, already under siege and facing severe shortages of food, medicine, and water. One of the few remaining Christian sanctuaries in Gaza, it was reportedly housing dozens of civilians seeking refuge when it was struck during military operations. In Rome, Paola Flynn, EWTN News Nightly.
In Jerusalem, the Latin Patriarchate, led by Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa, also responded to the attack, calling for an end to the, quote, barbaric war. We'd like to bring on Fareed Gibran, public affairs advisor and spokesperson for the Latin Patriarchate for Jerusalem. Fareed, thank you for joining us. Can you tell us how Cardinal Pizzaballa is responding to the strike on the church in Gaza?
Thank you for having me. Yes, Cardinal, we were all, you know, shocked to hear the news from Gaza this morning. As shocking as this war can be and is, it's always very hard to get news about people who were seeking, you know, a sanctuary in a holy place, in a religious compound, that eventually find their deaths.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we immediately made contact with Gaza, with the people, to make sure that the parish priest who was injured in the morning is okay, and to see for the arrangements of the funerals and all the other stuff.
What kind of support will the Patriarchate provide for the Holy Family Church moving forward at this point?
Well, first of all, in the conditions of the world right now, where humanitarian access is actually almost not allowed at all, the first thing is to assure them of our solidarity, of the fact that the entire Church of the Holy Land is with them, will not abandon them, and we will keep seeking any venue, any possibility to get humanitarian aid, and more importantly, to call for the end of this world and contribute to the end of this war. These are people, you know, who are alone, who are frightened, who still keep the hope of a better future, and we need to be there for them.
So difficult. What is the relationship like between the Patriarchate and the Israeli government, and will this attack change things?
There are ongoing contacts with the Israeli government on various matters, not only those related to Gaza. But as you know, the Patriarch was able to visit Gaza twice before, and this required the coordination also with the Israeli army. And the diocese of the Latin Patriarchate is part of the diocese is the State of Israel. So we, of course, have contacts on various levels. But on the issue of Gaza, we continuously seek to allow a humanitarian aid organized by the Patriarchate and its partners to get into Gaza. This is one of our main targets.
What outreach has the Latin Patriarchate in Jerusalem made to Christians living in Gaza since the start of the war?
Yes, well, the Latin Patriarchate, since the start of the war, the priority of the Patriarch was to try to access the place in order to be there with his parish, with his flock, with the population. And we were able to do that on the 15th of last May, 15th of May 2024. The Patriarch managed to get to Gaza to visit the population, to see them, to tell them we are with you. But at the same time, we were able to inaugurate a humanitarian mission together with the Sovereign Order of Malta and their partners to get the humanitarian aid. And we were successful in bringing several convoys and several expeditions of food, of fruits, and vegetables that the people there hadn't seen for months before. So we were able to deliver much of our aid that we planned and collected with our partners to Gaza, until it unfortunately stopped in the last few months.
All right, Fareed, important work you guys do. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
As the tragedy unfolds at Holy Family Church, a Catholic group working in the Middle East launches a 9-day novena for peace. The initiative from the Philos Project is geared toward a ceasefire in the Holy Land. It began yesterday on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and ends July 24th on the Feast of Saint Charbel of Mount Lebanon. And for more, we turn to Simone Rizkala, director of Philos Catholic. Simone, thanks for joining us. Before we start on the novena, can you tell us your reaction to the attack on the Holy Family Church and how your group might be able to help?
Well, this novena that we are proposing is a prayer for peace in all of the Holy Land. So that is not just the least we can do as Christians, but the most important thing we can do, because we're not there. We don't know the details, the circumstances. Reporting and journalism is limited. So, you know, it's very hard to get the truth in such a very complicated region. So prayer is the best thing that we can do while we continue to investigate. But of course, the loss of any human life and injury and what all innocent people there have been going through has been atrocious the last 2 years.
Yeah, and I guess that explains why you started this novena. But what is the significance to starting it on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel and ending it on the Feast of Saint Charbel?
We thought last year, when Lebanon was going to take a huge hit with Israel's war with Iran because of their proxy Hezbollah, but the IDF was able to neutralize Hezbollah largely, and Lebanon, against all odds and prophetic impulses, has been spared and is now in peace talks and normalization with Israel, which is nothing short of miraculous. We'd like to think that perhaps our novena prayers last year helped with that. We can hope that God had mercy in that way, because nobody who is a geopolitical expert in that region could have predicted the conversations that are happening now with Lebanon and with Israel. And for those who are familiar with Lebanon, it has a very good Christian history and heritage. And again, last year when we were thinking about these things and what we could do as to mobilize as a church on a spiritual level, we noticed that there's a perfect 9 days between the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which is in northern Israel, and then also Mount Lebanon, which is where Charbel spent time as a monk on his feast day, the Western calendar. So we thought, wow, if Israel and Lebanon, you know, who should be natural allies with, you know, the same values and an important Christian communities, how perfect is it? It's like Our Lady of Mount Carmel is asking us to ask for her intercession, because that's a very important biblical site of, you know, the story of Elijah, the prophets of Baal, and then, you know, St. Simon Stock later when the Carmelite order was established. But I think people forget that the roots of the Carmelite order are actually in Israel. And so we thought it was a perfect 9 days. And St. Charbel is like the Padre Pio of the West, major miracle worker. He's called the Wonder Worker of the East. He's the Wonder Worker of the East. So, you know, we thought these are such huge, powerful intercessors. Certainly they can, you know, do something big for us. And it seems that they did. So this is the good news. We're hearing a lot of bad news from the Holy Land right now, but the good news, there's a lot of good news about Lebanon and Israel right now. So,
and it's really great to hear. Quickly, you know, if our viewers would like more information, where can they go to find it?
Yes, please go to philosproject.org/Catholic. And if you'd like to still join the novena, it's only day two, so you can hop in, sign up for it on our website or our social media. And please pray. And we're very hopeful in this Jubilee of Hope, what will happen, how the Lord will answer this year's novena for the Holy Land.
Okay, Simone Ruscala, Director of Philos Catholic, great to chat with you.
Thank you so much, Chair.
The Trump administration also speaks out about the deadly attack at the Catholic Church in Gaza, and it included a phone call from the president. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Good evening to you, Tara. While the White House and the U.S. State Department both held news briefings today commenting on the church attack, this as President Trump tries to end the fighting in the Middle East.
In the briefing room, Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt addresses reporters.
Good afternoon, Caroline. In Gaza today, Holy Family Catholic Church was struck by an Israeli shell. Three people were killed, 10 wounded. What is the president's reaction to that church coming under fire?
It was not a positive reaction. He called Prime Minister Netanyahu this morning to address the strikes on that church in Gaza. And I understand the prime minister agreed to put out a statement. It was a mistake by the Israelis to hit that Catholic church. That's what the prime minister relayed to the president.
Leavitt has been responding to questions about the Middle East since the administration first took office. And as the 21-month-old Israel-Hamas war rages on, at the U.S. State Department, this response to the violent conflict.
In this case, of course, it was an accident. I think that the response from Netanyahu is an appropriate start. Of course, we share condolences to the citizens, the civilians' deaths at the Roman Catholic Church. We have asked that Israel investigate the strike.
Just this week, President Donald Trump offered optimism about ceasefire negotiations.
We're doing pretty well on Gaza. Steve Witkoff is here, and I think we could have something fairly soon to talk about.
This is also a tumultuous time for American ally Benjamin Netanyahu. The Israeli leader is a criminal defendant in an ongoing corruption trial. He denies wrongdoing. President Trump continues to offer his support, condemning it as a witch hunt. President Trump's Israeli ambassador, Mike Huckabee, even stopped by the court proceedings.
I'm here as a see what's going on. It's fascinating.
Prime Minister Netanyahu said today that Israel deeply regrets the strike on the Catholic Church, adding it was stray ammunition and that it's committed to protecting civilians and holy sites. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
All right, Owen, thank you. And we have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly, including moving on and walking out. As a judicial nominee advances on Capitol Hill, Democrats take a stand. And two members of the Trump administration pay a visit to Alcatraz. We will tell you why. White House House-backed spending cuts bill is slicing some $9 billion in funding for public broadcasting and foreign aid. It passed the Senate in the wee hours of the morning. The bill still faces a major hurdle, making it past the Republican-controlled House. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales reports. Eric.
Good evening. It was a long night in the Senate during a Votorama session as Republicans beat back a number of amendments from Democrats trying to restore funding to public broadcasting and even foreign aid. In the end, senators approved the DOGE cuts, taking back money that was already allocated by Congress. Republicans say reining in federal funding is why Americans voted them in charge.
It's not so much about the $9 billion as the fact that it's a cut, that it's the first time in 35 years that the Congress of the United States has done this. And we need to get in the groove of saving money rather than just spending money.
They are hiding behind this rescission package. It is nothing about saving money for people. It is about Republicans continuing to take away services from Americans, services that are needed by everyone across the country.
Prior to the vote, Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat from Virginia, spoke about the funding being wiped out for Catholic organizations and other religious groups who help resettle refugees in America.
Catholic Charities has laid off all kinds of staff. The families at my church, they come up to me after Mass on Sunday and they're so frightened about what might happen because many of them have families still in refugee camps.
As for the cuts to public broadcasting, the CEO of NPR said in a statement, quote, nearly 3 in 4 Americans say they rely on their public radio stations for alerts and news for their public safety. Prior to the Senate passing the bill, funds were restored to a program to fight AIDS in foreign countries known as PEPFAR. However, the Trump administration has accused the program of using some of their funds for abortions throughout the world. The bill now moves to the House, which approved an earlier version last month.
They're doing this in large measure because of the failures of Elon Musk and Doge. He promised he was going to save $2 trillion from waste, fraud, and abuse. He never presented a single case of actionable fraud. And now, instead of $2 trillion, they're focused on $9 billion.
A vote in the U.S. House on the bill is expected later tonight, but it must be passed by Friday or else the money must be spent. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
The GOP-led Senate Judiciary Committee advanced President Trump's nomination of his former personal lawyer, Emil Boe, for a federal judgeship. Democratic lawmakers were outraged, saying they were not able to question the nominee.
With all appeals to your integrity, with all appeals to past jurisdiction and past precedent, why are you doing this? This is outrageous.
This is a kangaroo court. That's what we have here.
Senator Cory Booker railed against Republican Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley. Then every Democratic senator walked out of the hearing. All 12 committee Republicans voted to move Boe's nomination to the Senate floor. If the full Senate confirms Boe, he will hold a lifetime appointment to the bench for the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Boe, a senior Justice Department official, has come under fire from Democrats for his mass firings within the department. The Trump administration is strongly hinting at plans to reopen Alcatraz prison. After visiting the island interior, Secretary Doug Burgum posted on X that he spent the day on Alcatraz Island to start work to renovate and reopen the site for the most dangerous criminals in the country. This after President Trump called for the prison's reopening back in May. The U.S. Small Business Administration is opening a center of faith, this while eliminating a regulation that banned faith-based groups from receiving disaster loans. The new center will, quote, focus on building partnerships with faith-driven organizations to increase awareness and access to capital, business counseling, contracting opportunities, and disaster recovery. In a post on X, SBA Administrator Kelly Loeffler said in part, quote, we're rooting out religious discrimination and embracing religious freedom. Well, up next on EWTN News Nightly, a true man of the cloth. Pope Leo doesn't only communicate through words, but also by what he wears. We break down the significance of the papal vestments. Plus, hope for reunification. What happened today at a meeting between the Pope and Eastern Christians? numbers from the Irish government show that since a 2018 referendum overturned a ban on abortion, the number of abortions is soaring. The report says last year there were 10,852 abortions. That is the highest total on record, marking, this graphic shows, a 280% increase from 2018. It also means in Ireland, one in six unborn children's lives end in abortion. Pro-lifers say more than 98% of abortions took place during early pregnancy up to 12 weeks. Pro-life groups are calling for a meeting with the Minister for Health. Pope Leo the 14th met a group of Orthodox faithful and Byzantine Catholics at his summer residence. The pilgrims are taking part in a joint Orthodox-Catholic pilgrimage. It is led by a Greek Orthodox Archbishop and Cardinal Joseph Tobin of Newark, New Jersey. The Holy Father told the participants that their pilgrimage is one of the abundant fruits of the ecumenical movement aimed at restoring full unity among all Christ's disciples. And finally tonight, many have seen Pope Leo appear in a variety of vestments and carry powerful symbols over the past 2 months. But what do these garments actually mean? From the white cassock to the fisherman's ring, each item speaks to the weight, history, and mission of the papacy. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Settergren has more.
When a new pope is elected, he changes from the cardinal's red vestments to a white cassock. This change takes place in a small room next to the Sistine Chapel in the Apostolic Palace, known as the Sala delle Lacrime, the Room of Tears. The name refers to the powerful and emotional moment of putting on the papal white and experiencing the weight of the office for the first time. The attire Pope Leo XIV chose for his first appearance when he greeted the faithful from the central loggia of St. Peter's Basilica on May 8th differed from the one chosen by Pope Francis. Pope Leo wore the red mozzetta, or shoulder cape, the stole, and the golden cross, like those traditionally worn by popes, including most recently Pope Benedict XVI. Pope Leo chose a very special pictorial cross, as recalled by the rector of the Basilica of St. Augustine in Rome.
It is a cross with relics. Inside the cross are the relics of St. Augustine and St. Monica, of St. Thomas of Villanova, an Augustinian bishop from the time of the Council of Trent, who also served as a missionary bishop in Latin America. Additionally, there are other relics, one of a blessed and one of a venerable Augustinian. The blessed Anselmo Polanco, martyr of the Spanish Civil War in 1939, and the venerable Bartolomeo Menocchio.
Another element of the papal attire is the white cassock. Traditionally, the cassock has 33 buttons, each representing the years of the life of Christ. The papal sash cinches the cassock and represents the pope's submission to his calling to protect the church. The white zucchetto, which means small pumpkin in Italian and is worn on the head, symbolizes the pope's task and authority. Another important papal symbol is the pallium, a white wool band worn around the neck, adorned with six black silk crosses, and is fastened with three metal nails in remembrance of the Passion of Christ. It is also a symbol of the pope's authority as universal pastor. The papal ferula is a pastoral staff carried during liturgical celebrations, typically with a crucifix just above the staff. Pope Leo XIV carried the ferula of Pope Benedict XVI on May 9 during his first Mass as pontiff. He also used the pastoral staff made most famous by Pope St. John Paul II, as during his inaugural Mass. The pope's shoes also attract attention. Traditionally, popes wore red shoes to symbolize their readiness for martyrdom. When Pope Francis was elected, he chose not to wear them, preferring simplicity. Pope Leo XIV also chose not to wear the red shoes. Among other items, the fisherman's ring holds profound symbolic value. On the outside, it depicts St. Peter with the keys and the net, symbols of his apostolic mission. Inside, it is engraved with the name of the reigning pope, now Pope Leo XIV. This is the ring that is defaced upon the death of a pontiff, as it has been used traditionally by the pope to seal official documents. Together, these garments and symbols form more than just an attire. They represent the immense spiritual responsibility, history, and continuity of the Petrine ministry that Pope Leo XIV now carries forward. In Rome, Benedictia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
And so much special meeting. Well, we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tara Mergener. Good night, and God bless you.